Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 and 20, Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. A new and living way. By way of introduction, there are two questions that might be asked concerning the Epistle to the Hebrews from which these words are taken. First, is it true that Paul wrote this epistle? The opening verses make no reference to Paul, whereas other epistles do state his authorship. I suggest that we may find the answer in the closing words, which read, Grace be with you all. If we refer to the end of Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, we find that he writes, The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token or sign in every epistle, so I write, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. If we check all the epistles of Paul, we find that all end with a similar greeting. In other words, this is his signature tune and gives us the key as to who the author is. The second question is to inquire how it is that Paul, who was the apostle of the Gentiles, writes a letter to the Hebrews. If we analyze the ministry of Paul, we find that it falls into two parts. As we can see from Acts chapter 26 and verse 16, he was instructed to witness, firstly, to the things which he had seen, and secondly, to the things in the which the Lord would appear unto him. Then, in verses 19 and 20 of the same Acts, chapter 26, he was to minister first at Damascus, at Jerusalem, and throughout the coasts of Judea, and second, to the Gentiles. Thus, the first part of his ministry was to Israel, and this ministry related to the things he had seen. Then his subsequent ministry was to the Gentiles, and the message to them was concerned with the things in the which the Lord would appear unto him. We know that Paul did receive a revelation which concerned the Gentiles. Paul's earlier ministry is linked with the first set of seven epistles, and afterwards he wrote seven more, which are linked with the subsequent revelation. Thus we see that our text relates to the earlier ministry of Paul. He had a great love for the Hebrews. He was a Jew by birth. He was a Pharisee. And he describes himself as a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You have only to turn to Philippians chapter 3 verse 4 or Romans chapter 9 and verses 1 to 5 to see and to understand the love and the yearning he had for his fellow countrymen. Now before we come to the new and living way, let us remind ourselves of the relationship of Israel to God, and how they approached God in worship. Israel was in a covenant relationship with God. The old covenant included the Ten Commandments, and there was the provision that if Israel served the Lord faithfully, he would bless and guide them. If Israel forsook God, then he would forsake them. It was a conditional covenant. Then the place where God met with his people was the tabernacle. This was his dwelling place. And throughout the ages, God's desire is to dwell with his people. Also, there was provision for the offering up of sacrifices in remembrance of sin. And once a year, the entry into the holiest of all, but not without the shedding of blood first. The tabernacle had an outer court where the sacrifices were made. Then there was the holy place containing the candlestick, the table, and the showbread. After the second veil, there was the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, containing the golden pot with the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. Here were the tables of the covenant, and the cherubim overshadowing the mercy seat. These are pictures of truth that would repay much study. But the approach to God into the Holy of Holies was made only once a year by the high priest, who offered the blood, sprinkling it on the mercy seat for his own sins and the sins of the people. How distant did God seem to these people then? None of them, except the high priest, could approach into the very presence of God. It is interesting to recall that the temple was similar to the tabernacle, but there was a middle wall of partition outside the temple, which prevented the Gentiles from entry at a very early stage in the approach to God. That middle wall of partition has been broken down. The veil which was in the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Let us now consider the great change that took place as a result of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This entry of our Lord, his coming to this earth, was a dramatic event. God was made manifest in the flesh, for one of our Lord's names was Emmanuel, God with us. Let us imagine what happened, as indicated in the earlier part of this epistle of Hebrews, chapter 10. There was a voice in heaven, "Lo, I come." In the volume of the book, it is written of me, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. A body hast thou prepared me." And a baby was born in Bethlehem. God was manifest in the flesh. Was this not a most dramatic entry into the world? And his exit was just as dramatic, for he died and rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. The entry and exit of our Lord Jesus Christ created a new situation. Whereas Israel had been in a covenant relationship to God by way of a conditional covenant, now a new covenant, an unconditional covenant, is in view. The old one failed by reason of the lack of faith of Israel. They broke the covenant. Now, the new covenant is to be made, and God will write his laws in the hearts of his people, and in their minds will he write them, and their sins and iniquities God will remember no more. Although the tabernacle involved a distant relationship with God, the fact that I have already mentioned that the veil was rent in twain indicated that the way into the very presence of God is now open. The middle wall of the temple being broken down, both Jew and Gentile may now approach into the holy place, God's presence, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We may draw near to God, but there is the provision that it is by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ which enables us to do so without fear. The fear that would arise had there been the consciousness of sin unforgiven. It is the shed blood of our Lord that puts away sin, and so we can approach God in full assurance of faith. Thus we are brought back to the one sacrifice for sin. Whereas in olden days the priests made their daily sacrifices, which could never reach finality and take away sins, Christ, by his one offering, made a complete atonement for sin. And our sins are forgiven. We read that he sat down on the right hand of God, thus indicating the completeness and the finality of his work. Hence, it is that through the finished work of Christ, the new and living way is open. We can enter right into the very presence of God. Let us therefore draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. With that confidence and boldness, we now approach his holy presence. In the old days, the mercy seat was sprinkled with the blood. Now our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience, our sins are forgiven, and the barrier between us and the holy God is removed. How different is the new situation! Let us praise God for the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We now may enjoy the full assurance of faith. What a difference this should make in our lives. We may now have communion with God continually. No longer is entry restricted to an annual event made by a high priest on our behalf. Our Lord sits at the right hand of God, but we ourselves may join with him by faith and enjoy acceptance and access to God. We may speak to God in prayer and tell him of our thoughts and needs, while at times we may bow before him and listen to what he will say to us. So may we live in and by faith. May joy and peace be ours. And as the apostle goes on to say, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.